Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Red Kingdom.
Fourth and three at the six. Mahomes in the shotgun on fourth down. Throws a wheel out right side. It's caught. Touchdown at the far front pylon. Xavier Worthy scrapes outside. It is touchdown pass number 300 for Patrick Mahomes, counting the playoffs.
Now the Chiefs go to that L shape. In the backfield, play action fake. There's a throw caught by Kelce, and he dives to the 1 yard line. Against Yassin, he thought about hurdling him, but he hit the hurdle, and it was Yassin. It's a gain of 17, and the Chiefs have goal to go at the 1 yard.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Unbalanced left, Caliendo in the line of scrimmage. Pacheco, the running back. First down and goal to go, sprint out action. Mahomes keeps it, he's into the end zone, touchdown. Keeping the ball on the option, Mahomes with the rushing touchdown. And he scores at 37 seconds to go in the first half. Third down and goal to go at the 3 yard line. Pacheco motioning left. Mahomes in the pocket, darts it near side, caught, touchdown! Kansas City, Hollywood Brown is having a night. And the Chiefs answer a touchdown with a touchdown to go up 26-17, 9:30 to go in the game.
She's hot.
No doubt, baby. Chiefs hot, baby.
She's hot.
Could be the best Monday we've had all season long, guys. Let's go.
What a game. What a game.
What a dominating performance, Dusty. Woo!
Except
for the kicker.
Well, I know that I'm hard.
Yeah, except for that. We don't need to talk about that yet.
Not yet.
We'll do that later.
Hey, Jalen Moore just blew somebody up again.
Here you go, Veach.
Oh, man. How about that game, man, yesterday? Is that the one now that finally gets everybody back in? If you were on the outside looking in as a fan, you back in now on this team because they're 3-3 and they got healthy. And Patrick Mahomes is pretty pissed off after that game last night. I don't know if you saw the post-game interview on the field. He was having none of that last night. Let's go. See you in Santa Clara.
I can see it now. I don't know if I believe in this team. That Detroit defense was awfully beat up.
Oh, come on now, Dusty.
That's it.
Guys, they had their third left tackle in. They had three corners out, a safety out. I don't know, man. They didn't seem IF that.
Yeah, right.
Chiefs were victorious last night. They were the dominating team.
Yep.
That was, to me, the most important part of the game. Obviously, the refs helped us win that game with that touchdown call being reversed, which is an illegal play. So sorry about that for the rules out there.
I mean, the announcer people were all over that right away, which I had never seen before. So that was new for me yesterday. Yeah. I'd never seen something like that before called in a game, where the guy has to set or not where the quarterback moves out. I've never seen that before. Kudos to the referees for getting that one right, though, because that is such a minute type of play. You got to be on your game to see that play happen. And they made the right call.
Because I would assume that a lot of people were the same way watching that opening drive from Detroit just take forever and ever and ever. Like, oh, that's under 7 minutes. Okay. But the fact that they took all that time just to get three was a huge win. And I even like tweeted about it. I was like, the team that scored is a team that lost on that drive.
Yeah.
Which is ironic, I guess you could say in itself. But that was, you know, sign number one that the Chiefs were, they were, like you had mentioned last week, it seems like a desperate win, but when you play desperate or you play, you know, like your back's against the wall, you saw a Chiefs team come out, long, long drive, Chiefs get the ball, answer right back, go up 6-3, should have been 7-3. We'll dive into that in a little bit. That is the one negative of this game. Mm-hmm. Another game, another mishap from Butker. But again, use the time while we have to get started. That is a victory. That is a team that is now 500. Oh, by the way, Rushy Rice is back in the building.
Yes, he is. He's back in the building,
hey,
baby.
Hey, what good man.
It's gotta like that.
I think Mahomes' eyes got big when we brought up Rushy Rice last night.
Of course they did. Yes. I mean, the stuff that I've told you about a year and a half ago, they expected Rushy Rice at that time to be the best wide receiver in franchise history, right? And I remember you guys going, all right, whatever, it's early. Yes, it was absolutely early. But those are the expectations they legitimately have inside that building for Rushy Rice. And not just for him now, this entire offense is back, baby. And you saw Jalen Moore out there doing unbelievable things at that left tackle position. He was absolutely fantastic. Look, this offensive line has been wonderful for the last 10 quarters, okay? They've been fantastic for the last 10 quarters. This team played almost a flawless game again last night. I mean, they didn't have any penalties, guys. I mean, they went from 13 penalties to zero. 13 penalties to zero penalties in a game overnight. And it was just, it was a glorious game. I'm not going to lie. I was pacing the entire time. We were sitting outside as a family watching this thing and I'm pacing. They score, you know, that first field goal. My youngest daughter goes, we stink. We're not winning the Super Bowl this year. And I'm immediately thinking like, these are her expectations. This is all she knows. I mean, this is all she knows is winning the Super Bowl every year. But that looked like a team last night that could beat anybody, anytime, anywhere. Mm-hmm. And I think the rest of the league is on notice. Because as soon as that game was over, I couldn't get enough of the post-game coverage. So I went right over to NFL Network, and David Carr is like, yeah, they're back. Chris Collinsworth all game long was hinting at it. And I know, Mac, you were at the game last night, but at the beginning of the game, Collinsworth kind of talked about, it's just different feel, man. They may be 2-3, but it doesn't feel like a 2-3 team. I feel like they're ready to break out. And at the end of the broadcast, Tirico's like, to Collinsworth, why did you feel that way? And Tirico's like, or Collinsworth's like, look at the guys on the field, man. Look at who you got in the locker room. Look at the coach. All these things that just add up to a football team that if you were sitting around counting them out, you need to check yourself in, man, because this team was never going to give up. They were never going to be counted out. And here we sit now at 3-3 after the first six games, and it is effing go time now. Let's do it.
Yeah, Jalen Moore, the highlight of the evening. You know, last minute gets in for a Josh Simmons, who was out for personal reasons. Still, we know as much as you know.
Yeah.
The more we do find out, the more we will give to you. But again, we're on the same page with you with that situation. Out, personal reasons. Jalen Moore, who Andy Reid let us know in the conference last night, or the press conference last night, gave birth to a child either early in the morning of Sunday or at the end of the night on Saturday. Then gets the call, says, hey, bud, by the way, congrats on, you know, a child. You're going to start at left tackle against the Lions. They have Aiden Hutchinson, so let's go get him.
Yeah, hell of a 24 hours for that kid, right?
I mean, insane. And you see the contract, and it comes up in the graphic, two-year, $30 million. This guy was supposed to be a swing tackle. Is he going to fit in for, you know, is he going to be there for Juwan Taylor if he keeps messing up? We didn't hear his name last night. We didn't hear anybody's name last night, to be quite frankly with you. From 13 to zero, I'd done. And so you look at this sort of development that you have there. You heard Caliendo's name in the highlights earlier from Mitch Holtis on 96.5 The Fan. And not only that, but, like, Mahomes in his last four games, right? So we're into week six. So ignore the first two if you want to. But these are the last four games. 98 of 145, 1,069 passing yards, 11 touchdowns total, one interception. That's without Rashee Rice. The biggest thing out of all of those stats and all those numbers that you can look at with Patrick Mahomes is the fact that he is now comfortable because that offensive line has quote-unquote gelled. You are now into week six. You are now into week seven. We always tell everybody, once you get to about week 10, you kind of know. Sean Smith told us this as well. By week 10, you kind of know who's real, who ain't real. And you kind of saw a lot of that yesterday. If you watched a lot of the NFL games, you kind of watched teams go out there and be like, all right, Jacksonville, yeah, they've had some good wins. Their record's 4-2. I don't know if they're real.
Carolina's 3-3.
Well, that's because we know Dallas probably ain't real. And, you know, you see Jets that team last night, and I think the end the broadcast you're talking about at the beginning of the game is, why do you have so much – he says, Collinsworth said, this is the most confident 2-3 team that's out there. And you watched that game last night. They did not play with desperateness, at least in my mind. It's not what they looked like. They looked professional. They looked scripted. They looked ready to go. Zero distractions. Chris Jones, who got – flack the entire week,
yep,
injures his elbow, puts the leather strap on, looked like the Derek Thomas or Neil Smith old school leather elbow pad, goes in there, gets two big plays, gets Omenihu a sack, by the way, and then also at the end of the game really gave Goff that pressure, and then Nick Bolton came in and broke that play up. Chris Jones had himself a game. Travis Kelce said, hey, we only got one more week without Rashee Rice. I'll bulk up one more time. This is what you're going to get from me.
How good was he last night, huh? He looked like he was 5 years younger last night, man.
And the team, you know, a lot of people tweet, Mahomes had to carry the team in. That's what quarterbacks do.
Right.
And that's where I think a lot of people get that sort of thing lost. Like, that's what Baker Mayfield's doing in Tampa Bay, and we're praising him. This is what Patrick Mahomes is doing in Kansas City. Last night, best player on the field. It wasn't questioned at all. This team is like an episode of Friends, right? Everybody's a main character. There's a reason why Friends plays on repeat over and over again, because you can just catch an episode and you're probably going to be entertained because you don't know if it's a Ross, a Rachel, a Phoebe, or a whatever, a Joey episode. Last night, there was no Tyshawn or Thornton.
No Thornton. And
nowhere to be found.
It was funny because before the game, that betting analyst on NBC, Matthew Berry, I think is his name, he's like, oh, yeah, Tyquan Thornton, 25 yards. Hammer the over
Everybody was
thinking that, right? And Tyquan Thornton did nothing last
night. And it was Juju's night.
Yeah.
Like, Juju had the big play over the middle. And it was Noah Gray getting some jump
Hollywood
passes.
Hollywood Brown's night, too.
And Hollywood Brown has, what, 4 for 40 and 2 touchdowns. So that's just why this team is such an enigma on who's – now, next week I expect Rashee Rice to eat.
Well, yeah.
I expect Travis Kelce to be out there to be productive, but not – like Max said, he's a lot of volume, but not a lot of production, which makes sense in a weird way, as if Travis Kelce will be out there running the routes, doing the blocking.
I said the opposite.
What is it you said?
I think he'll be out there less. I think he'll get the ball more, personally.
Okay. Travis Kelce? We'll have to see. I like the way that they utilized him last night, though. I mean, there were certain plays where he was definitely out of the game, and that's okay, but he made some huge plays, obviously, you know, for this team. But it tells you how balanced it is. Mahomes threw for 260 yards, roughly, and your leading receiver was Kelce, was 78.
Nine guys got a catch?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 guys I'm looking at got a reception in that game last night. I think it was 9 the week before against Jacksonville.
Wow.
Like this offense right now, man, I don't care who the defense is. Who's the best defense in the NFL at this point in time? Do we even know who the best defense is
definitive.
At this point
Denver,
in time?
Maybe
Denver, but I mean, they're also
Jacksonville has a good high defense.
Jacksonville's pretty
Seattle.
Decent defense, right? This team right now, though, for the way that they are playing offense and the way that they are dictating the game for the last 10 quarters on offense, this is as good as on offense as they've looked in years right now. And probably you have to go back to 22 or maybe 23 at this point in time to see them look this good, this efficient, and they're doing a masterclass on offense right now, guys. And it is just unbelievable to watch. Like, I'm sitting there watching these plays going, oh my God, this is a masterclass. And last night was a masterclass in the short, quick passing game. Get the ball, get it out. Aiden Hutchinson wasn't a factor last night until he screwed up the entire game for his team and knocked Mahomes over at the end. Even Mahomes looked at him and goes, what the F are you doing, pal? But that's a credit to Jalen Moore for going out there and neutralizing that guy all afternoon, man. Like, Aiden Hutchinson didn't do anything in that game last night. And so this offense right now, they are churning, they are burning. The running game's working, the passing game's working. The RPO game last night was as stellar as I've ever seen this thing before. And now they got that swag back, and now they are feeling good. And Patrick Mahomes, after that game, that branch guy, we'll get into that, pissed him off. And now you got a pissed off Patrick Mahomes getting a great weapon back for an offense that already churning. They may not lose again this year, guys. They may not lose a game again this season. That's how confident I am in this team.
We're not to Overreaction Monday yet. That comes at 6:30, but we will get to what everybody might use as their Richard of the Week, plus what Creed Humphrey had to say to get this team really fired up here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Leo Chanel, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Hell yeah. I mean, is everybody going to work like the dude?
Absolutely today. How could you not be, right? After that win last night?
Well, there's one guy that looks and sounds like the dude that's probably not going to work like the dude.
Dan Campbell.
I love Brian Branch, but what he did is inexcusable. And it's not going to be accepted here. It's not what we do. It's not what we're about. I apologize to Coach Reed and the Chiefs and Schuster. That's not okay. We that's not what we do here. And it's not going to be okay. He knows it. Our team knows it. And so that's not what we do.
Yeah, but that's what you did do, though. I mean, that is what you did do. If that's not what you do, then you don't do those things. And Brian Branch, after the game, Patrick Mahomes went to, dab him up, give him a high five. Branch wanted nothing to do with it, and then punched Juju Smith-Schuster in the face and bloodied his nose last night. And you can't do that kind of stuff. Brian Branch at the end of the game said they were trying to bully me out there, and then went on and blamed the referees. Oh, yeah, his Aww. Quote, they be trying to bully me out there, Brian Branch said. What are you talking about? They bullied you. They beat your ass. That's exactly what they did. That wasn't a bullying. That was a direct kick you in the nuts, leave you for dead. I mean, you want to see bullying. Bullying's let you hang around in that game, right? And then beat you at the end with a field goal. I could show you bullying, Brian Branch. That was just an old-fashioned Donnybrook ass kicking you took last night for your Detroit Lions. Beat that ass. Bullying. God,
I have full trust in Dan Campbell. I think his words were awesome. I like what he said. I like how he also called him Schuster. I talked to Juju. Yeah. Talk to Schuster.
Schuster.
Yes, sir.
Sweet Schuster.
Yes, Dad. I think Branch probably got an earful of Chaw and Triple Dippers or whatever Applebee's is selling now. On that plane ride home, that was probably not a fun plane ride home for anybody, even more so Branch, because I do believe that Campbell is going to, because that's not the first, second, or third time that Branch has done something like that this year. I believe the broadcast said he has already been fined at least two times this year.
Good Lord.
For something of misconduct of something like that. That was clearly frustration, which I love.
I do too.
Because, you see that a lot, growing up in youth sports, right? Like, you'll see, our friends. We were all best friends. But when one of our friends just, absolutely kicked all of our ass and something, got really cocky, tempers flirt.
Sure.
Man, you started pushing, you started shoving, started saying things you didn't know you were going to say about your buddy. And that right there that says it all. Because when you let your emotions get like that, you have now let us know from a perspective of media, fans, whoever's watching that game, that you are clearly beaten and frustrated because of what just happened in that game. You were frustrated that Patrick Mahomes beat you. He put his hand out to get a little handshake, whatever, just sportsmanship. And there's also, a video earlier, Mahomes scoring, flexing his things. That's his thing. You don't like it? Do something about it. And at the very end of the game, you did do something about it. Hey, you know what, Branch? I'll tell you this. If you'd have brought that kind of energy during the game, maybe there's a different outcome.
Yeah.
Where was that energy between the whistles? Where was that energy during the game? It wasn't there. It was at the end of the game. It's like when Michigan beat Ohio State and Ohio State wanted to fight everybody in the field.
Right.
Where was that energy before? Now, again, that ignited Ohio State's run to the national championship. Yeah. Maybe Detroit gets healthy, and I think they will, and maybe we see this game again in February. I would absolutely love that. But again, this was one of those games where the better team won, the more disciplined team won, clearly by the penalties. You can say whatever you want. It was a home game. Well, they got 13 penalties last week on a road game. So I don't understand where you want to have that argument. But again, the Chiefs played better. They played more disciplined. They played crisp. They played just outstanding football for four quarters, and they didn't let a 9-plus minute drive ruin their entire script.
Well, no, and you mentioned earlier the Lions are the one who ultimately lost on that 9-minute drive. I wrote that down right away. That's a huge win for the Chiefs. That was a huge win by holding them to 3 points after a 10-minute drive.
I'm surprised we didn't
right?
get a game over text.
I was close. Really was. No, I honest to God, I was.
And
I was
the
very close.
Throw to Juju, I thought that was it too. Because that's just. Did you watch that in slow motion?
I mean, that window throw to Juju Smith-Schuster, I mean, that was, it was.
Ball defender.
That may be the best ball that Patrick Mahomes ever thrown. I've never seen anything like that.
It just does.
I mean, even Collinsworth is like, whoa. I mean, that window is like right there.
The defender's literally coming to the angle and the ball slips in and just goes right by.
I've never seen anything like so nuts. Just perfect like
just
that. But if you're the rest of the league right now, I think last night you're probably looking at this Branch guy and you're going, thanks, AH, for doing that, because now this team is woken up, because this team got a great win. They were feeling good, and now they've got that extra little, oh, okay, you don't respect us. You ticked us off, because Mahomes left that field pissed last night. And Mac, you were out there. I don't know if he was pissed by the time he reached his podium or anything like that, but he was ticked walking off the field. They keep showing the replay this morning, and I mean, that is a stoic, up yours, I'm coming NFL look that Patrick Mahomes had. And even in the interview on the field after the game with Melissa Stark, Patrick Mahomes was not a happy camper based on what went on last night. So I hope that energy carries over. I hope that's the fuel. And I hope everybody looks back at that and go, you woke a sleeping giant, Detroit, by doing that. But maybe the sleeping giant was awoken New York on a couple weeks ago with Creed Humphrey, because I didn't hear this story. I don't know if you guys had heard this story, but Creed Humphrey was the guy in the locker room who gave the speech in the second half or at halftime of that Giant game that turned this whole thing around. Basically, pick your asses up. It's time to start playing. And since then, this team has basically been a flawless offensive team, save the pick six, obviously, but a flawless offensive team since Creed Humphrey got up there and talked. And I think that's an important thing. When you have certain people that don't talk, finally talk, it means a lot more than the guy that screams all the time, than the Tyrann Mathieu or the Frank Clark or those guys that kind of run hot. Even Chris Jones, even Travis Kelce.
For sure.
When Creed Humphrey gets up there in front of the room at halftime and says, enough's enough, that carries more of a weight. That's why I think it's so important for coaches to pick and choose when they're going to have those moments of, come to Jesus with guys. You can't go in there and flip the spread and do all that kind of stuff every single day. It loses its effect. I'm thinking that Creed moment in the locker room at halftime against the Giants had a major effect and a major impact on this team. And this may be one that we go back to later in the year and look and go, what was that turning point? And everybody goes, yeah, Creed spoke up at halftime of the Giant game, and we've turned it on since. Because the last 10 quarters offensively, it's just been an unbelievable watch. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's always goes back to when the Royals were kind of in their run and Moose would have his outbursts or whatever it may be. But when Gordon would say something, Gordon, personally, just very quiet, humble guy, doesn't really say a lot. But if Gordon got up in that locker room, everybody would be like, oh, okay, Alex is pissed.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Creed Humphrey, right? He's a gentle giant. He's the center of the football team. We don't really hear a bunch from Creed, whether it be a PBR commercial or a Jack Stack commercial, wherever it may be with Creed. That's it.
That's it.
And it's all scripted. That halftime speech it's unscripted and it's random. And sometimes when those two things meet each other in a time of adversity, everybody kind of takes it to a certain, they take it down a different road. There's going to be some people that are going to be like, all right, whatever, Creed's just going nuts. But most of the people in that locker room are going to say, all right, Creed's pissed. Like, yeah, we are betting this. Like, it got this quiet, gentle giant to get up and get pissed about it. And I do believe that moments like that cannot be forced, right? Like
right.
The Minnesota, or not the Minnesota, the Miami Dolphins meeting, that's forced.
Oh,
the Philadelphia Eagle meeting that did or did not happen, according to A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts. That's forced.
Right.
This is something that's just spur of the moment. It triggered him and it turned him into this, rah-rah guy. And when that happens,
it's like a relationship that falls into your lap. You're like, okay, this is something special. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't go out on, you know, a dating app and put myself out there and make sure it's all about me, 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 look at me. This was just something that happened to just fall into my lap. And you know what? It's actually magical. That speech that Creed Humphrey gives in that halftime locker room in New York on the road, and you see where that team pivots towards, now 3-1 since that speech, playing much better, playing with offensive firepower, probably saying some things like, hey, we got to help 15 out
right,
here, right?
Yeah.
Like that's his battery mate as well. So I would assume something like that was involved as well. Would love to know what Creed Humphrey had to say, whether it's our business or not.
No, they're going to tell you it's going to be none of our business.
True.
And this is going to be one of those tales, I think, that becomes lore, and you'll start to hear it from other people. Of
what
did he say? What was said?
So I think that, yes, that in that moment, in that time, and especially the way the team has reacted. Like sometimes that, you know, people are like, ah, yeah, he spoke, didn't really do anything. They're 3-1, and they put up 20 points since, 30 points twice, almost three times.
I think that's important what you just said there, because I didn't even realize that. They've won 3 of 4 games.
Correct.
I mean, we were talking about a team that people were thought was left for dead, and that's a good point by you to talk about it that way. They've won 3 of their last 4 games right now. Probably should have won 4 straight football games, obviously, with the fact that happened in Jacksonville, right?
They invented ways to lose that game.
But they didn't, and they are what they are. They're 3-3. But this thing is now wide open, because you just don't know who the best team is in the NFL. I think a lot of people last night thought Detroit, best offense in the NFL, 17 points, right? Philadelphia, oh, how are they? Well, they've lost 2 in a row. Tampa may be in the running now for the best team in the NFL. They had to eke one out on a Baker Mayfield play at the end, which the ball's on that guy, by the way. I mean, good Lord, right? So who's the best team in the NFL? I know Mac made the case last week or 2 weeks ago that the Chiefs were the best team in the NFL, you know, after they came off that win against Baltimore, right? I don't know that you're necessarily wrong by having the Chiefs as the best team in the NFL, because I think if you talk to every coach right now in this league, who don't you want to see? I don't want to see Kansas City right now. They're healthy. They're playing great. And oh, by the way, they just made a trade for a number one wide receiver, and he comes in this week.
I want to see how Buffalo responds tonight, because last week they had a disappointing loss to New England at home. Tonight they play an offensive powerhouse in the Atlanta Falcons. We're seeing one of the best running backs last night do a little bit of damage, not a whole bunch of damage, but Gibbs was good. Wasn't great, but he was good.
He's all right.
He's 65 yards on 17 carries. A lot of carries.
Yeah, not a lot of passing to Jameer Gibbs.
Montgomery catching the pass.
Right.
I mean, only 4 guys caught it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guys caught a pass last night. Gibbs had 1. That's it. I mean, he did not throw to anybody.
Brown finished with like 6 catches?
He had 9 receptions for 45 yards.
He had like 4 or 8.
But what are you going to remember? The 2 that he dropped, or the 1 that he dropped. The 4th down play. I mean, that's
huge.
The play that you remember. I don't remember.
Throw.
I mean, I don't, honest to God, remember the catches that he has, but I do remember that drop, and that's because I'm biased and I'm a homer. I don't care.
Well, no.
But,
I mean, 9 for 45, dude. Yeah, 5 a catch. I mean,
that's not a lot.
Nothing.
That's not like memorable,
right? It's like a Derek Carr stat line.
Yes.
He was 9. No, it's a Russell Wilson stat line. He was 9 of 11 for 29 yards.
Exactly.
Wait, what are we doing here?
Or like a baseball stat line. 4 for 4. Yeah, what did he do? He had 4 singles. Not 1 RBI. Never reached past first base.
He's,
you know,
Luis Arise.
Or, you know, like a basketball. That guy scored 30 points. Oh, yeah. What was his shooting percentage? He was like 10 of 50, you know?
Exactly.
Oh, okay. So he had to put up 50 points or 50 shots to get the 30 points.
And team lost.
But you lost. But like Amarasa, and that's not on him. That's a credit to the defensive line. That's a credit to the defensive backs.
22.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where I was going, because my wife last night says to me, she goes, I mean, you know, you got to think Trent McDuffie's been a no-show this year. I go, no, that's a good thing, Jen. Like, the fact that you're not hearing his name means he's doing unbelievable things out there, right? That's the way that I look at it. You don't hear from Trent McDuffie at all, because he's got that side of the field absolutely on lockdown. He's been great this year.
And we'll get the snap count later. Noah Williams was in that game a
lot.
Played a lot last night, which allowed McDuffie to be in the slot.
Yeah, it did. And my daughter thinks he's hot, too.
Trent?
He's a cat dad.
He's like a beautiful man.
I mean, he really is. No, and he's a great guy, too. He's got awesome parents. I mean, I've had an opportunity to hang with him for a little bit.
Why can't you be 6 years old?
I mean, like, he really is kind of that perfect guy. Sweet, nice.
Handsome guy.
Yeah, good looking, great dude. Like, all about giving back, all about doing the right things. Like, yeah, he's almost the perfect guy. He is a stud, yeah. So my daughter said, she goes, well, I think he's hot. I'm like, okay.
Sweet. You've got good taste.
I know he's dating, so you're too young.
Yeah. Okay. It's been 30 minutes.
Is it time?
We've had our fun.
The time.
Let's talk a couple negatives.
Okay.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Jamari Connor. He's right. Tough on defense, but that, you know, will change once Fulton's back, I would assume, right? Like once he can get back into the fold and get into the defense and not be on the injured list, I think his time will dissipate.
Yep.
12 tackles for him leading the way last night. That's not a good stat.
No, and I'm not going to give him any flack. I saw somebody in the text on earlier this morning. He's like, doesn't he know he just needs to stand on that goal line and push LaPorta out? Look, that was one of the greatest touchdown catches I've ever seen.
Oh,
my life.
God. I thought he made a great play to try to stop that.
Great coverage.
I mean, there was
just happens sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, to me, that's a better touchdown than Moyaki's against the San Francisco 49ers.
Oh, that was an incredible touchdown.
And that great was a one-handed diving, and that LaPorta goalpost above. You, the window's here, the guy's undressing you on defense, and Goff just put it in a window that was, like I said with Mahomes and Juju, it was unmeasurable. It just, sometimes freak plays happen like that because there's a bunch of freak athletes on the field.
Exactly. I mean, sometimes the other freak athletes just are better than you on that particular play, right. And let's be honest, guys, that play is happening in fast speed. We're not watching and playing in slow-mo. It's easy to sit back and go, he should have just pushed him out of bounds, because I thought the same thing. I'm like, just shove him out. But you're caught up in that moment. You just... It's going so fast. You're just trying to make a play.
It's essentially the same play that happened last year with Isaiah Likely. Just the toe was in, not out. Mm-hmm. And then the other negative is the guy that wears number 7 that kicks for the Kansas City Chiefs and Arizona Bucks. This is now 6 games and a mistake. And I saw a tweet from Mackenzie Nelson last night, and she showed him on the sideline. She goes, he's been doing this for about 10 minutes. And I'm sure, Mac, you could see the same angle as he was just lining the ball up, precisely counting every step moving. And I saw when they took the delay of game at the end of the game to move back 5 yards, as soon as they blew the whistle, Harrison Butker almost robotically stopped, looked down, went to his spot on the field and marked and got ready. And to me, that means 2 things. One, it's officially in his head. Like, he knows he's got to get to this mechanic. He's got to be precise. He's got to be perfect. And 2, it's a problem.
Yeah.
Because it's affecting his psyche. It's affecting his game. And whether it just be a missed, you know, extra point, that was a crucial 4 points at the time, the way the game was going.
Yep.
And we don't know the way the game is going, so hindsight's always different when you look at this. Yeah, it didn't matter at the end of the game, but it mattered at the moment. And it matters psychologically, I think, for Harrison Butker. And that's what I go back to with the analogy of the golf swing. He's trying too hard to be precise. And Mitch said it last week. And that kickoff against Jacksonville, he tried to pin it next to the hole, like in a golf swing, but in my opinion, he had a 2-stroke lead going in 18. Just put it in the middle of the green and 2-putt par and get out of there.
That's the thing, man. Take the easy approach on this one. And he did last night with the kickoffs, as you saw.
The simple things are looking too tough for him. And that, to me, is a huge red flag.
Look, I could talk about Harrison Butker for 4 hours today with all the different philosophies and theories that I have of why it's time to move on from Harrison Butker. He's been weird on the sidelines, though, for a while. I mean, Josh would tell stories, and we'll ask him what it was like to see him. He goes, this guy usually gets out a tape measure on the sidelines. I mean, he's been doing this for years. Where, like, kickers are odd, wow, man. They are odd. And Josh, like, he's got this tape measure out on the sidelines. He's measuring everything. And I'm like, good Lord. I go, what does he do? He goes, this guy's constantly doing things as the game is going on. And so good for him. He's been a fantastic kicker, but he's not a fantastic kicker anymore. You'd mentioned a 4-point swing. When it was 10-6 and they went for it on that 4th down and they didn't get it, that's where I was thinking, okay, that's a swing of points right there. And at that point in time, he had missed the extra point and you didn't go for 3 that you normally would have taken. It should have been a 10-10 game at that point in time. And I'm immediately thinking worst case scenario now. Oh, this is going to cost us. This is a 4-point swing. Because I think a lot of people, including yourself, looked at it that way as well. Like, oh my God, normally you just kick a field goal and you tie this thing and we move forward. But they didn't have that opportunity to do
You're
so.
You're also thinking about maybe now there's a time where you're going to have to go for 2.
That's exactly right. And I
hate that.
I do. But at this point last night, with the way that he missed that extra point, I would have gone for 2 the
rest
of the way.
When you lose points, you have to chase those points.
Yeah, and you should never chase points. But to me, when he's missing as many extra points as he is, you're no longer chasing points. You're giving yourself a better percentage chance at converting, because he's about a 50% rate now when he gets out there on the field.
I mean, it's also weird that I like that he's missing, because now they're going for it every time.
We're on 4th down.
That's the aggressiveness.
The aggressiveness. But that, again, is a byproduct of him not being productive, because if he's productive, you're getting points. You're not having to go for it on 4th down, and now you're putting everybody else in a bad position, right? Like, everybody's playing tighter now. Everybody's playing tenser now. Everybody's playing like, we can't make a mistake because we can't rely on this guy anymore. I don't think people really understand the negative negative mental impact that Harrison Butker is having and could potentially have on everybody. And Andy's great. He doesn't let this stuff bother him. But I know as a fan, I'm sitting there, and I'm sure everybody else is like this. My stomach turns now when this guy comes out onto the field. And if my stomach's turning like that, you got to think the other guys are looking around going, man, what is this guy going to do? But maybe we're getting back that swag now. We got that swag back, if you will, where they can go out there on offense and they're going to score 30 on the reg and the defense isn't going to give up more than 20. And if that's the case, we're not going to need to rely on Harry. But this guy, man, you have to change your game plans now and start to think about, you know, situational football a lot differently, where it was just get across midfield, kick a field goal, and we'll be fine. Now it's almost like we got to go for it on fourth down until we're inside the 20 to give Harry an opportunity to make these kicks.
Which, I mean, is a byproduct I will take. That is the one byproduct I am excited about. I have been asking for this team to be more aggressive on fourth and short. There wasn't one fourth down last night that it would not have gone for.
I agree. Yeah.
Not one. I think those were
all great. And that's the byproduct of the Philly game, not going for it on that fourth down, too. Like, these learning experiences along the way.
And it's a byproduct of last week, too.
Yeah.
You know, of not putting your foot on the gas and closing the game. And last night they did that. It was like... The one fourth down that they didn't get, it was a play call that we could talk about and argue about. But all the decisions to go for it were good. And yeah, you're right. It is changing the way they play. I would say I'd take a positive note and say if they are going to go do something, say, oh, there's no kickers that you can get off the street. They got Spencer Schrader last year. Spencer Schrader is tied for the league lead in field goals made right now for the Indianapolis Colts.
And he's hurt.
Meaning that, is he hurt now?
Yeah, he got hurt 2 weeks ago. They had to bring in a new kicker this week.
Really? He didn't play yesterday? And he's still the league leader in field goals made? Wow, that's very impressive.
Well, because the Indianapolis Colts never punted. They've only punted 11 times.
I mean, it's crazy. Punt. Yeah, the Colts
and they
don't
struggled
punt.
Against Brissett.
Well, Brissett looked good. Yeah, you got to give him credit. He looked good.
No, I'm pretty sure Spencer Schrader got hurt 2 weeks ago, and they brought in some guy off the streets to kick field goals for him.
Well, Matt, I think what you're getting at, though, is like there's dudes just randomly walking around.
Yeah, Harrison Meavis, man. Bring those Tigers in.
Young Wei Koo's on the streets. That Georgia kicker with the rec specs. Yeah. That used to be good.
Oh, yeah.
What was that game?
Rodrigo. Yeah. Rodrigo Blankenship.
Yeah, but they got rid of him fast, though, too. Like, he didn't last in the league for a long time, man. They punted on Rodrigo
He's got a TikTok series right now where he'll pick a game and then he'll kick every field goal from every exact position that was made there, and he'll do it and show you like, hey, I can do it still.
Yeah. Can you do it with 75,000 watching and, you know, 11 other guys, you know, coming at you and do it? Yeah, exactly.
How many
takes did you have on that TikTok? But no, I'm to the point.
Michael Badgley's the kicker.
Michael Badgley now. That guy's been around. Yeah.
Again,
Money
to your
Badger.
Point.
Like, yeah.
Sorry, I mean, you're not diving into the Indianapolis Colts roster, yeah. Mac. No,
sorry, Mac. I don't understand why you didn't know that
guy.
Spencer Schrader wasn't, normally on the team anymore.
Should have kept Justin Reed just to kick.
Just to kick. I mean, at this point in time, I mean, but I'm to that point now where it's time. It is time to audition. I've been done with Harry now for about 2 weeks, all right? I can't do it anymore. Yep. It's not, and I hate to use the term fair, but it's not fair to the rest of the players on the team. It's not fair to the offense, especially, that's going out there and doing their thing, getting into field goal range, looking at automatic points, and then that extra point last night, guys, that's his worst miss of the year. I mean, that thing wasn't even close to going through the uprights last night.
I'd say the kickoff's probably worse, but that one didn't look good either. I mean, that's just whatever. To bring this conversation full circle, Skip Bayless likes to reach out every once in a while. Branch will get fined for hitting Juju, but Mahomes didn't need to reach out and try to shake Branch's hand. If Branch didn't want to shake, just pull back your hand and let him go. I mean, he didn't have to punch Juju in the face.
The gymnastics to get to that take, man, to make it Mahomes' fault. Yeah, it's incredible.
Stop playing, Skip.
It was funny to watch Mahomes kind of, you know, high-five him on the shoulder or the arm or whatever it was.
Don't leave him hanging.
But Branch, I mean, you're in charge of your reactions. I don't think people understand this, right?
Mm-hmm.
You may not have liked that Patrick tapped him on the arm or whatever, but then Branch responded the way that he did. It's not Patrick's fault. It's your fault for responding that way. You're an adult.
Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in the AFC North. That's not an overreaction. We will get to our actual overreactions on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Josh Simmons, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your...
It's a Victory Monday here on Fesco and Dusty, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs on 96.5 The Fan. Sports Talk on 96.5 The Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL games live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. That's right.
They got a decent win yesterday.
That play's going to play.
It's today.
What'd he say?
Who's scared of that team?
He said, that play's going to be in my mind until they put dirt on top of my body.
Oh, God.
It was a great play.
It was, though. No, it was pretty awesome. Yeah, it was awesome.
Got strong.
These quarterbacks, though, I mean, it's all over the place now. These guys are strong. Mahomes set the bar, and everybody else is trying to be, you know, just like Patrick Mahomes and win games with their body the way that he did. Even that, like, Mahomes run at the end last night was like 3rd and 8, and he got 6, and he's, you know, fighting for those extra 2 yards. He's getting smashed all up in there. Those quarterbacks yesterday, that Baker Mayfield play, the play that, you know, he's talking about with Justin Herbert, were out. I mean, just outstanding plays. But to have to pull off an outstanding play to beat the Miami Dolphins in front of a, you know, half a crowd against a team that has given up, that's why the Chargers just don't scare me, guys. I'm watching, you know, the highlights of that thing yesterday. I'm like, you had to scrape one out to beat the Miami Dolphins yesterday. And that really is a bad football team.
Well, they don't. The Chargers would have lost if everybody would have showed up to the meetings on time.
That's
in Miami.
Right, in Miami. And if you're Tua and you're calling out players like that, man.
I don't know if he's calling out players. I think he's calling out old boy.
You think he's calling out the coach? Or
absolutely.
Because he was saying like a players-only meeting. Who's supposed to attend? Who's not supposed to attend?
Some guys show up to the building late. Some guys don't show up.
Yeah.
All this, it's like, well, that's, to me, screams accountability on the guy that.
Well, that is true, because the coach did respond afterwards. He goes, all these guys seem pretty accountable to me. I don't know what they're talking about.
If he makes it to Tuesday, I'll be surprised.
It's 7:50 on the East Coast. I'm surprised we haven't seen some sort of word start to trickle out. But again, maybe the owner's cheap and he doesn't want to pay the guy, you know, to go away and whatnot and pay somebody to be the interim head coach. But, I mean, you got guys on staff. You need to make that move. The other one, too, the Jets, I mean, 0-6 at this point in time. I mean, we're sitting here watching a football team like, could the Jets get worse? And Jet fans will tell you, oh, it could always get worse, right? But that thing yesterday, I was watching a little bit of that European game before we headed out, and, you know, soccer and all that for the day yesterday. Like, what are the Jets? Do they know you're allowed to throw the ball past the line of scrimmage? They had -9 or -10 yards
negative
passing
10.
Yesterday.
-10.
How is that possible? Like, mathematically, that doesn't seem
terrible.
Like it's going to work.
That's the worst team in football.
Oh, it's not even close. Yeah. Aaron Glenn's a one and done-er, right? Like, I don't even know that. Like, but again, everybody thought Aaron Glenn was going to be this great head coach because he was good at coaching defense. This guy is so far over his skis, it's not even funny.
Well,
Saleh shouldn't have been fired.
Well, we know why he was.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Ever since he's been fired, that defense has gone in the dumps.
Mm.
That's a really good defense.
That's not a hot take.
What did they? But they didn't give up a lot yesterday.
No, they 13. Didn't. That was their best defensive performance. Their first takeaway yesterday.
And then he couldn't explain where and when his field goal kicker was kicking field goal. He had 35, and then there's a 48.5, and there's a 58. We had this on third down. Excuse me, what?
Wait, and then he's yelling at reporters afterwards because they questioned whether or not you're going to bench your quarterback. He had -10 yards passing.
Yeah, dude,
that's a legit question.
I think they need to pull out. quarterback Justin Fields.
Who is their backup, though?
Terod Taylor.
He's better than Justin Fields.
For sure. Yeah. For sure.
Jacoby Brissett was better than Kyler Murray yesterday. Sometimes that happens.
He was.
Well, that's not my overreaction, but we can get into an overreaction here on a Monday on Fesco and Dusty. Mac, your name's at the top of the list.
I don't even know how much of an overreaction is. He's third in the odds. He should be first. Baker Mayfield's the MVP favorite right now.
Yeah, everybody's talking about it, too. Yeah, I don't think that's much of an overreaction. The only reason it is, Mac, is because it's Baker Mayfield,
yep.
Right? And
perception.
Exactly.
We can't get rid of that perception. We're just going to stick with that. But he's done everything in his power to break that mold. I mean, yesterday, again, a 3rd and 14. He gets 15 yards. He breaks 2 tackles. He extends the ball over the line. Like, it's every week. He is Mahomes-esque in that when he runs, it's 3rd and 10, and he gets 11.
Yeah.
That's been it every time. Every game, he's got 4 game-winning drives. He's won every game close. Not like they're beating juggernauts. I don't know how many juggernauts there are, but they're winning the games that they're playing, and he is the reason they're doing it. I mean, Mike Evans is hurt. Chris Godwin's hurt. Bucky Irving's out. He's the guy.
Emeka Egbuka is now hurt. I mean, that touchdown pass that he threw, basically the game-winning touchdown pass where the dude caught the tip of the ball and rolled it. I mean, that was a dime. I mean, that was a dime. But that catch was unbelievable. When it's going right, it's going right for you, you know?
Yeah.
And it's going right now for Baker down there in Tampa. That's a good match. And it's very low-key because it's Tampa. Not a lot of people are paying attention. But they would be in the conversation for the best team in the NFL right now.
Have they won that division for the last 5 years?
I think so. This will be their fourth year in a row. So, yeah, four of the last five, I think this will be their fourth year in a row. And I'll tell you what, I looked at their schedule. Tell you what here. They're winning 13 games.
Yeah.
They're going to win a lot of games, man. It's
there's no competition
schedule
for them, yeah.
They've only played one division game. They got five games versus the Panthers, the Falcons, and the Saints.
Yeah,
you that's could good have, for them. Because you could have an argument for MVP for the top three leaders on the list right now. Josh Allen at plus 185. Patrick Mahomes is now skyrocketed to plus 225. He was plus 1,000 2 weeks ago. Baker Mayfield at plus 425.
So those are the only three that really have a case for the MVP.
Well, after that,
this year,
it's Stafford at plus 1,500.
Yeah.
And we'll see what Josh Allen does tonight, because you'd say Josh Allen's reason is defense is down, not a big stud on the offense, and he's willing his teams to win.
And he's scoring 40 because he has to, almost. Yeah.
Mahomes, he's doing it without Rashee Rice. He's got a new rookie left tackle. Last night, he had a left tackle. He's never even played left tackle before with Patrick Mahomes. And they're coming back. They're 3-3. His numbers are great. 15 total touchdowns, four of which are rushing, over 200 yards running, over 1,500 yards passing, yada, yada, yada. And then you look at Baker Mayfield, right? Baker Mayfield as well. No Evans, no Godwin. Egbuka's now got a hamstring. Yep. They don't think it's serious, but it could linger. And then Bucky Irving's out. Plus, still winning games. They're 5-1 and leading that South. So that's why those three all have a case. My overreaction is, speaking of odds, I think you could switch or hedge if you had Rookie of the Year, Offensive Player of the Year awards. I think now you should take Jackson Dart to be your Rookie of the Year. The reason I say that is because Egbuka got hurt yesterday. I don't know what his severity is. Obviously, it's a hamstring. It's been bothering him the last couple weeks. They took him out of the game. He did not return. They're optimistic on what it could be by the end of this week and see if he practices. And then Offensive Player of the Year was Puka Nacua, right? That was your guy.
He was
always there. The numbers, the catches, the production.
That sucks.
All there.
Sucks.
He's now hurt. And there's a guy in Seattle that's doing almost the exact same thing in JSN.
Nobody's paying attention to that guy, and he is putting up numbers, man.
Incredible.
And I think that if you look at, if you look at that sort of thing, when you look at what he's done, you look at now where the Rookie of the Year odds favor. Jackson Dart is at the top of the list at plus 175. Egbuka plus 175 as well.
Dart went up he's the leader after, 3 weeks, basically.
Wow.
That's crazy.
I would hedge my bet if you had Puka and Egbuka. Funny.
Puka and Egbuka.
I would hedge that, and I would say I'll take Dart and I'll take JSN.
Love it.
For Offensive Player of the Year.
JSN has almost 800 yards receiving already this year. Seriously, they showed the graphic last night. It's either 695 or 795 already. Either way, it's insane.
Your Offensive Player of the Year odds, Jonathan Taylor number one, Puka number two.
Jonathan Taylor's got an eye.
And JSN is third, and Bijan Robinson, who plays that Bills defense tonight, could be a big game for him.
I'd love to see that tonight. Big game. My overreaction is don't overreact. I've been telling you this for years. Stop overreacting to the regular season, right? Everybody wants to overreact to everything we see and write the final verdict and close the book on everything, right? Stop overreacting to the regular season. And also, here's the other thing. Stop doubting Andy Reid, okay? Andy Reid, in the last 3 weeks, has fixed Juwan Taylor and fixed the entire team when it comes from a penalty standpoint. No penalties in that game last night. A week removed from having 13 penalties in a game. And Andy Reid went in there and go, all right, enough's enough, okay? People need to start overreacting more to how good Andy Reid is, as opposed to overreacting that things aren't going to get fixed and this isn't going to be good and this is going to be bad. We're talking about the greatest football coach that ever wore a headset standing on our sidelines. Things get fixed around here really, really fast. And so there it is. Andy Reid, nip that one in the bud. Juwan Taylor's been nothing but a Pro Bowler since Andy Reid had to come to Jesus with him. And yesterday, no penalties in that game. That was a pure game played by the Kansas City Chiefs. So my overreaction is start overreacting to how good Andy is, because nobody ever does.
Monday's football coverage is presented by Busey Bank, where they're focused on your success at Busey Bank.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Been building businesses and growing wealth since 1868. I think that's when Andy Reid got his first win. Learn more at BuseyBank.com. I'm not going to read what Mac put in the rundown, but 3-3, look out. 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
This is Fesco and Dusty, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. Your home for K-State Athletics, 96.5, The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.